If you will only listen to him, you will see that he is right. Margezona talks in Indian. S. What's the matter with him? He is an insane man. God Almighty. What's the matter with him? Mrs. B. That is an Indian talking to you. S. Good God. I thought he was an Irishman. Mrs. B. He was a few minutes ago. Mr. B. He is changeable, he can be an Irishman or an Indian, neither. You will find he is a good friend to you. S. I don't know what this means at all. I don't know what's the matter here. There are none of my people. Tom, look here, now, I will tell you something. S. Good God. He's turned again. Tom, see here, now. S. What's the matter with you? Tom, don't you know one of the greatest things of your life you wish to know? What became of Sarah? S. Are you the devil? Tom, no, there is no such chap as the devil. S. What language is that you are talking? Tom, I wasn't talking then. It was Margezona talking. S. The noise came out of the same hole. Good God. Tom, of course. Don't you suppose that could be possible? Did you ever hear anything about the law of spirit control? S. Oh, I have heard some such nonsense. Tom, did you ever hear anything about spirits coming back and controlling mortals to make them talk? That is what I am doing. I am a spirit talking through the organism of this young man, and that was another spirit that you heard a little while ago. S. You are a queer spirit. Tom, of course, I am a queer spirit, and so are you, and I have seen Sarah. S. Where did you see her? Tom, in the spiritual world. S. You talk in riddles, man. What under the sun are you trying to make me believe? What do you mean? Tom, I mean just what I say. You know Sarah disappeared from your life very mysteriously, and you never heard anything from her. Now, you know I don't know you, and you never saw me before. But this is what she tells me. You are an entire stranger to me. She says you used to love her, and she disappeared very suddenly from your life, and you felt very badly about it. S. Very well, where is she? Tom, why, she is dead, as you call it. S. Where did she die? Tom, you remember George, don't you? S. Most certainly I do. Tom, well, he took her off. S. Oh, D. Him. Tom, don't you know he said you should never have her? He took her off and kept her in confinement, and he came back, you know, so that you wouldn't suspect, and then after a time he left her. Now, am I not telling you the truth? S. As far as I know, it is true. Tom, and after he left her she died in great agony and suffering, but she is out of her suffering now, and she is a very bright, beautiful spirit, and wants to help you. S. How can she help me if she is a spirit? Tom, why, can't she help you then just as much? You don't suppose, when people die, they lose their interest and affection for their friends, do you? S. How would I know? Tom, I want to tell you something, James. You remember that queer feeling you had in your bed when you went to bed there, and woke up in the morning, and rang your bell and got so excited? S. This morning, of course I know. Tom, you dropped off to sleep again after you rang your bell, and you had a stroke of apoplexy, and died in that unconscious state, and when people die in that state they don't know they have made the change called death, as you have. S. I have. Tom, yes, and that is the reason, when you call for Moses, he doesn't come, and when you ring for your breakfast you don't get it, because they can't hear you. S. Well. Well. How can that be? Tom, you have only moved out of your old body, you feel just the same, and people, when they get out in that way, don't realize that they have got out. Now, to prove to you that what I am telling you is true, I can go over your life and see everything that has happened. I can go back to your childhood if necessary, and tell you thoughts that you never expressed to anyone, but I think there are some things you wouldn't like the people sitting here to know. Still, I will tell you if necessary, in order to prove to you that this is true. S. Well, the most I want to know is if I have died of apoplexy, as you say. Tom, yes, you have left your body. S. Can a man die and feel no change? Tom, certainly he can, because it is only moving out of one house into another. When you leave a house in earth life to move into another, You don't feel any change, you feel the same. S, but we know that we have moved, we know we have moved from one place to another. Tom, very true, but when you lie down and go to sleep at night, no one can realize how that is. But when you sleep for a time you are dead to all things, and you died in your sleep, in that unconscious condition, not knowing that you were going to make the change. S, well, am I to remain forever in this room? Is there no light beyond? Tom, yes, there is the light of eternity wherein to unfold the capabilities of the soul. Sarah was instrumental in your being brought here tonight, that you might be instructed how to get out into the light. S, can't I see her, if this be true? Tom, I don't know. S, after you tell me all these things, that she lives, that I am alive and dead and alive, and yet you tell me you don't know if I can see her, if you have been telling me the truth, you know whether I can see her or not. Tom, I can't tell whether you will be permitted to see her at present, because we are governed by laws. S, I am sick of law, law. Tom, you will have to submit to the laws of your being. If you have lived a good, pure, honorable life, everything will be bright and clear, but if you have lived a selfish, double life, you will have to overcome it, and you will have to work very hard to right the wrongs you have committed. You will have to meet every act of your life. They may rise up as obstacles in your pathway, and prevent your reaching the one you are so anxious to see, but in time you will be able, by patience, labor, and sincere repentance, to overcome these things, but you must put away yourself, and all this haughty pride that you have. S, I don't wish to remain in this room any longer. Tom, what are you going to do when you get outside? If you talk to anyone, they can't hear you. S, oh, I am smothering, I feel I can't exist. Oh, I am going, sometimes I can't even speak, I feel so confined, I feel all crushed in. Margazona, you have been brought here by kind spirit friends who wish to show you how you may better your condition. Your spirit is clothed with earth material to give you the force to speak, when that is gone you can't speak. That will explain to you the feeling you have. S, if I could only get out of this close condition. Margazona, where will you go? S, I don't know, I don't know. Why don't you tell me? Tom, would you like to have me talk to you now? S, yes, talk on, talk forever. Tom, would you like to take up with the poor Irishman for a little while? S, anything to get out of this close condition, but this closeness is smothering me, it is smothering me. Tom, my dear sir, I am sorry for you, but you have no one to blame but yourself. You have wrapped yourself up in such a cloak of selfishness, you are like a mummy now, wound with many thicknesses of cloth, and this cloak of selfishness has got to be unwound little by unselfishness. Everyone who has lived a selfish life, all their life, it is the hardest thing for them to do a purely unselfish act. S, in the name of God, is there no way out of this? Tom, yes, there is a way. But did you have any mercy or any compassion on anyone who stood in your way in earth life? Did you have any pity, any sympathy, there? If you did, why, it will be given you here. If you didn't, how can you expect to reap what you didn't sow? S, can't you say anything else to me, only taunt me with the things that are past? Tom, it is always best that the truth should be given, and truth should be spoken. You have a chance given you to right the wrongs, but you must commence at the foot of the ladder and work to gain the top. S, what can I do shut up here in this room? Tom, you will be shown the way. S, if I could only get out of this. Tom, I will take you to a school where you will be taught how. Will you go with me? S, I will go to get away from this. Tom, what are you going for? To get rid of that which is disagreeable to you? S, certainly, certainly, Tom. Or will you go for the sake of doing good and for right? S, certainly. Tom, will you go to work for a labor of love, a labor of unselfishness? Will you go down in the very depths of woe and despair to lift up some poor fallen creature? S, why, if it is necessary, and I must, I will. How will I begin to do such a thing as that? Tom, I will take you to this school of unfoldment, where you will be taught and instructed how to right these wrongs, and advance step by step to Sarah, for she is far above you in the scale of soul unfoldment. You I must work to go where she is, for she cannot come down and dwell in your sphere, she is too pure and bright a spirit. S. How may I reach her, then? Tom, you will be taught at this school. Now I will leave the young man to take you. Will you go? S. Young woman, will it be all right? Mrs. E. Yes, sir, most certainly it will. S. Then I will go. Tom, and will you pledge yourself? S. I never make pledges, but I will try to do the best I can. I never made a pledge in my life that did any good, or that I kept. Tom, now it is time that you begin. There are many things to draw you back, and I want you to keep right ahead. S. I will go with you, and I will do the best that I can. It seems to me to be in the dark. I don't know where you are going to take me, but I will go and do the best I can. Tom, I am going to do all I can to help you, because I feel sorry for your condition, and nothing will give me greater pleasure than to help you out into the light and better your condition. Sarah James, James, Tom, did you hear Sarah speak to you? S. Sarah, Sarah, dear, is that you? Sarah, yes, James, yes. S. Oh, the years. The years. The sorrowful years, Sarah. Why didn't you hear me? Let us go, let us go. Tom, there, now, didn't I tell you? Didn't you hear Sarah speak to you? S. I heard her, Tom, yes, and now I will do all that I can to help you and to help her, because I know it would make her very happy. Now you bid the kind friends good night, because they have helped you, too. S. Good night, young woman. Mrs. E. Good night. I am glad you are going on your pleasant journey, for I know it will be in the end. Thursday evening, May 29, 1890. We have a person tonight who was taken away suddenly, and he will be somewhat rough. Eva. S. I will get in this house. I guess I can get in here. I must have something to eat. It's no use. I am almost starved to death. I will get in, anyway. I am bound to have it. Let me see. I haven't had anything to eat in 3 days. I am tired. I am tired. It's hard going around. Oh, there's a woman. Say, Mrs. Mrs. B, what is it? S. I would like a bite. Mrs. B, I am sorry. I haven't got something for you, friend. If I had it, I would. S. Oh, that is all nonsense. Mrs. B, I will bring up some next time. S. I want it now. I've got to have some. Mrs. B, I would have had something for you if I had known you were coming. S. You can just as well give me something, or I will help myself. Mrs. B, you may help yourself to anything that you can find. S. Oh, you are very kind, aren't you? You needn't be afraid, I am all right now. Mrs. B, oh, I'm not afraid at all. S. Say, Mrs., will you please let me step into the other room, and when that man comes tell him I am not here. Mrs. B, yes, you may. S. Let me alone. Get your hands off me. Get your hands off me. Mrs. B, we'll take care of you. They shan't hurt you. We won't let anyone hurt you. S. I'll kill you, by G. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I am innocent. That's your pretended friendship. What did you want to lie to me for? Mrs. B, I didn't lie to you. S. You did, too. You put him on my track. Mrs. B, no, they shall not hurt you. I'll warrant you they shan't hurt you. We will protect you. You can believe what I say. S. If I had my pistol. How is this? What is the matter? Tom, good evening to you. I am glad to see you. S. What do you want of me? Tom, nothing. Only good. I just want to have a nice little talk with you. I don't want anything of you, only good. I wouldn't harm a hair of your head if I could. S. Will you get me out of this? Tom, to be sure I will. S. All right, come on, let's go. Tom, nothing shall hurt you now while Tom is around, so you needn't be at all alarmed. I will take care of you. S. Don't you deceive me. Tom, oh, no, I won't deceive you. S. I have been cheated and deceived so many times. Tom, I tell you no one shall harm you. I have got lots to tell you, you know. S. What did they do about it? Tom, well, we had better not talk about that just yet. S. Why not? Tom, because you are out of harm's way now. You are where no mortal man, woman, or child can harm you now. S. Now don't try to decoy me into anything. I haven't done anything, you know. Tom, I know all about it. I tell you, man, you are out of harm's way now. Nothing mortal can harm you. I will prove it to you in a little time, but you must just keep calm and don't get excited. I will assure you that I will take care of you and get you out of this all right. S. Can't I get out now? Tom, not just now. S. Did they do anything about it? Tom, of course, why wouldn't they? You don't suppose such a thing as that could go on without them making an effort to capture the guilty party, do you? S. I think it would be better for me to leave the country. Oh. What am I talking about? Tom, you are among friends here, and you might just as well free your mind, because we are going to take care of you. S. Should I leave the country, you know? Oh, God. What am I talking about? Tom, there's no use for you to leave the country now. S. Why? Tom, because it isn't necessary for you to leave the country. You are out of harm's way now. S. But I can't remain here always, you know. Tom, to be sure, you are not going to remain here. S. What do you mean by out of harm's way? What assurance can you give me that I am out of harm's way? Tom, I can give you this much assurance. Say, John, can you catch a dead man? S. Not very well. Tom, then you are just as safe as that. S. What do you mean by that? Tom, it is just as easy for anyone to catch you as it is to catch a dead man. S. I can't understand that. I believe you are just fooling me. Tom, I don't wonder that you can't understand it, but let me tell you, John, my dear sir, something has happened to you that you are not aware of. S. I am aware of a great deal that has happened to me. Tom, very true. But you are not quite aware of all that has taken place. S. By G, I wish L was dead. Tom, what would you say if you were? S. I wouldn't say anything. What could I say if I was dead, idiot? You don't suppose I would say anything if I was dead, do you? I am tired of this. Tom, I am sorry for you, and I am going to try to help you out of this unpleasant condition. S. What do you propose to do? Tom, the first thing is for you to understand your condition. S. I'm already aware of my condition. Tom, no, my dear sir, not quite all. Now let me tell you, John. S. What are you making motions for? Tom, what kind of motions did you see me make? S. I saw you turning your head around to look. Tom, I was just getting instructions. S. Yes, I've got on to you pretty well. Tom, you never had a better friend on earth or in heaven than I will be to you. S. Well, I hope so, but I am getting suspicious of you. Tom, I've got something very strange now to tell you, and I know that you won't be able at first to receive it, until I prove it to you, which I can do. I can prove all that I say to you. Do you know, John, that's your name, S. To be sure, that is my name. Tom, do you know that I have seen a little girl? And she tells me that her name is Bertha. S. Bertha who? Tom, Bertha Blake. S. When did you see her? Tom, do you recognize the name? S. Well, I do, but how could you see her? Bertha Blake is my little daughter. Tom, I know she is, because she said that you were her father. S. But she is dead and gone. Tom, she may be dead to your physical senses, as it were, but her spirit lives. And her spirit does not go so far away but that the love she bore to the loved ones left behind draws her back to them. S. Well, she was my little darling. But what has that to do with my condition? Could you tell me how I can escape? Tom, you have nothing now to escape from on the mortal side of life. S. How has the matter been adjusted, if I have no fear? Tom, the matter has been adjusted by your paying the penalty of your life. S. What do you mean by that? You talk so strange to me. I really hope that I have met a friend, but you talk so strange I don't understand you at all. Tom, quite true, my friend, it is an enigma, I know, but let me say to you, John, that many, when they are instantly deprived of life and go out in great anger or fear, don't always understand that they have made the change called death. There are many that make the change in that manner, and you are one of the many. You have left your mortal form. S. Do you mean that I have died?
Tom.
You have.
S. How?
When?
What way?
Tom. All there is of death is simply leaving your old body, moving out of the tenement of clay.
S. But you certainly make some change?
Tom. Not any for a time, only as you understand with your spiritual senses, and take in your surroundings, which you have not done yet, but you have been brought here for that purpose, of making you acquainted with what has taken place with you.
S. I feel no different.
Tom. No, you cannot. Leaving the body in the manner that you did, you died suddenly. You were shot by the parties that were after you.
S. Was that it?
Tom. That was it.
S. Was that terrible sting a shot?
Tom. Yes.
S. I felt it, and am I just the same?
Tom. Just the same.
How would you be any different?
S. Why shouldn't I be different, if I am a dead man? I am quite sure I would be different. There must be some change in me.
Tom, it is only a step.
If you would be different, you wouldn't be Mr. Blake, you would be someone else.
S. I see all things just the same.
Why did you talk to me about my little daughter?
Tom, because she is anxious to have you become acquainted with your condition, and anxious to have you work and take up the duties pertaining to the life which you have now entered, so that you may be able, after you have made restitution for all the mistakes committed in the body, to go where she is.
S. In what way can I make restitution?
Tom, you will be taught and shown the way by kind, loving spirit friends.
S. Must I always remain here?
Tom, numbers, where shall I go?
Tom, you will be led and taught what way by kind spirit friends, whose mission it is to help poor misguided souls like yourself out of the darkness into the light.
S. Oh, but I feel so.
Tom, it is only part of that old feeling, that old condition, that rushes over you. But that will pass off soon. You retain the same thoughts. You have the same feelings, they are your own, they belong to you. You have your own experiences that you take with you, your thoughts and your acts.
S. I don't know that I ever met you before.
Tom. No, my dear sir.
S. Then how are you so well acquainted with all that has transpired with me?
Tom. Because the spirit friends who have you in charge, and they are those who are near to you, and know all that has taken place in your life, inform me.
S. I am hungry.
Tom. Well, my dear sir, it is only part of your old, unpleasant condition, in time that will all pass away, and you will feel no hunger. As this lady told you, had she known you were coming before she entered this room, she would have brought you whatever you desired. Because it is the mission of these friends here to administer to poor, earth-bound, sin-sick souls like yourself. They are working on this side of life, and many kind spirit friends are working on the other side, on your side. Both are working for the uplifting of poor, misguided souls.
S. What is the penalty for this act of my life?
Tom, you paid the penalty on the earth plane, as it were, by yielding up your life. On the spiritual side of life, you will have to labor to undo all the mistakes committed while in the body. I will take you to a school where you will be taught and instructed what to do.
S. I don't want to be deceived, I don't want any excuses.
If you are intending taking me away, I don't want to be deceived about it.
Tom.
Why, my dear sir, I have no object in deceiving you in any manner, and you cannot be harmed now. No one on the mortal side of life can harm you, and on the spiritual side no harm can come to you. All the unpleasantness you will have will be the reflections which will come to you of your acts committed while in the body. You sent them on before you. People every day are sending on acts and deeds which are sure to meet them when they come. This is all they have to meet. I speak as one who would speak from experience, for I have passed through the physical conditions of immortality, and I return as a spirit to help a brother up.
S. And have you also died?
Tom. I have made the change called death, and return to the earth and use the organism of this young man here, so that I can reach those who are on the earth plane, for you are on the earth plane at present. You merely stepped out of your body, but did not move away from the earth.
S. What music is that?
Tom.
That is a box these people keep playing here. S, it sounds very pretty indeed. Tom, would you like to see me, Mr. Blake? S, I do see you. Tom, oh, no, you don't see me, you only see the young man. S, the young man? Tom, yes, the young man whose organism I am using to talk to you, and now you look right at the young man's head, and I will show you myself. You watch, and you will see. S, oh, that is very strange indeed. That is marvelous. How can you do that? That is a very wonderful thing. Mrs. F, did you see any person? S, yes, ma'am. You saw it, didn't you? Mrs. F, number S, well, I suppose you have seen him, haven't you? Mrs. F, no, I never saw that spirit. We can't see as you can, because we are still in the mortal. It is all dark here to us. We can hear you talk, but we cannot see you. S, young man, does that hurt you? Mr. F, what hurt me? S, when that man came out of you. Mr. F, oh, no, not at all. S, how did you feel? Mr. F, well, I don't know that I can describe the sensation to you, but I felt something like electric shocks, something of that kind. S, that is the most marvelous thing I ever saw in my life. Mr. F, we are people here who have friends in the spirit world, and we sit here for the purpose of communicating with all our spirit friends. My sister who has died comes and talks to us just the same as you are talking now, and this lady's daughter comes also. We are what is called spiritualists. I don't know whether you ever heard of them before. S, I have heard and seen a great deal of them, but I never saw a spirit go in and out of a person like that. Mr. F, we haven't left the form yet, we haven't made the change called death, as you have, so, of course, we can't see those things as you can. We can't see you, we can only hear you speak. S, well, I am surprised that I have made the change, died, or whatever it is. But I am glad also, for I can't have anything now that can possibly be as disagreeable and unpleasant as I have had, and I think there must be some change, because I begin to feel that there is. Mr. F, yes, you have been brought here to learn what has happened to you. This lady has a daughter who is a very bright, beautiful spirit, and who has been in spirit life a great many years, and it is her work to gather up poor, earthbound souls, and bring them to her father's house, and we talk to them, and get them acquainted with what has happened to them. Tom, well, now, did you see me? S, I did see you. I think that is very strange indeed. Tom, didn't I tell you that I could prove to you anything that I said? S, well, you have kept your word so far. Tom, your friends all love you, Mr. Blake. S, well, I hope so. Tom, you made many mistakes in your earth life. S, I suppose that is a mild way of putting it. But I know I have done a great many bad and wicked things. Tom, I am sorry for you. S, I don't suppose that will do me any good. Tom, oh, yes, it will. Kindness, love, and sympathy do a great deal of good everywhere. There is a great deal of it on this side, but there is not near enough on the earth side. S, yes, I did a great many bad things, but I don't believe that a man can help himself. It is of no use at all. I don't believe it is possible for anybody to do any different from what they do. God Almighty has put us in this world, and placed us in conditions where we are obliged to do things, and then he demands of us repentance for that we can't help. There is where it is hard. I have tried for my own sake, and I have tried for the sake of those who belong to me, but if you know about those things that we spoke of first, you know that I could not help it, it was forced right on me. 13 had to do it, and now what am I to do? Tom, yes, I understand, and now your past experience must be your guide for the future. If you go out and plant a garden with seeds, and a great many weeds come up with the kind of seeds you have sown, you are obliged to pull those weeds out if you want those seeds to thrive and grow. And so there were a great many weeds came up in your life, and now you must go to work and pull them up. Soft-S, well, I might as well be pulling up weeds as anything else. If I know how, I will do it. Tom, that is only a comparison. S, well, I know, and accept it. Tom, yes, Bertha, I will help your papa all I can. S,
What did you say?
Tom, I told Bertha I would help you all I could. She is so anxious.
S, you told her.
Why can't I see her?